Alrighty, so before we get into the women that have inspired us, I just want to quickly go over. Everybody hears me lamenting about losing weight, and I think I finally cracked the code, although I say that every time and I haven't, so who, you know, I might come back in a month and go, forget it, it didn't work. But I started, you know, I talked to you about this outside of the podcast, and you've done this, but I started doing HIIT training, which is high intensity interval training. And I don't know, you know, I'm always looking shit up online, and I found this. And so long story short, you do short bursts of hardcore working out. And then so like maybe you're going to do jumping jacks or something along those lines. And you do it for 30 or 40 seconds. And then you rest for 30 or 40 seconds. And when I say rest, I just mean like walk around. You know, you don't sit down and rest, but you just take a little bit of a breather. So you get your heart rate up and you work out as hard as you can for 30 seconds. And then for another 30 or 40 seconds, you just kind of walk around and then you go do your next one. And the thing about this is that A, it's supposed to keep like your body in calorie burning mode for a longer period of time. And also, I was reading about how it helps, I guess, like rejuvenate your cells to back when they were younger, you know, younger cells, for whatever that's worth. But what I'm noticing, and one of the real benefits is that it burns the visceral fat around your organs, which is the most dangerous.
Get that out of there.
Yeah. So what I've been noticing is I've been doing it now for about 2.5 weeks, and of course, I've also cut out gluten, as I said earlier, and I started that at the beginning of November as well. And I've been able, what I've noticed about this is it's great because I do, when you do HIIT, you don't have to do these longer workouts as like, so there's,
no,
you
that's know, the beauty.
Yeah. So it's easier to do. I mean, it's hard, but it's easier because, you know, I can do anything for 30 seconds or 40 seconds. But what winds up happening is even on the times that I'm like, pretty much every day, I'm like, I don't want to work out. But then I push myself to do it. Once I'm in it, I'm in it. And I've found that I'm getting more and more strength so that I can, you know, I started off doing everything for 30 seconds. Now I'm up to 40, 45 seconds. I was also, one of the other things that I do, so what I'm doing now is I started off, first thing I do is I have my coffee and then I don't eat anything. And we live on the third floor. So I did 5 sets of stairs. And I would do that. And then later on in the day, I would do about 20 minutes of the HIIT training with, you know, if you're interested in it, you can go online and there's a million different ways to do it. I looked up women over 50. There's things you can do that don't hurt your knees. I have a stair climber and a stair stepper, so I use those to do it. But I also do planks and push-ups and all that. But so I first started out with 5 flights of stairs, 20 minutes of HIIT, and that was 5 sets of stairs, let's say at noon. And then around 5 o'clock, I would do 20 minutes of HIIT, and then I would do 5 more stairs. Now I'm up to 10 flights of stairs, adding 1 more flight to each one. So it's really like four flights of stairs. So I do that 10 times at around noon. And then I do the 20 minutes of the HIIT, and then I do, hit my microphone. And then I hit, and then I do the stairs again 5 times. So, and I found that I've, you know, been able to do more. Like I'm getting more strength and it's getting easier for me to do it. So eventually, I think your body becomes used to a certain way of working out. I'm going to switch it up again. But for now, I'm gonna stick to doing this, and I've noticed that my clothes are starting to get looser. So fingers crossed.
Good luck.
So I've taken out
gluten. And Godspeed.
Yeah, I know, huh? I've taken out the gluten, and I'm being very, 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 you know, hardcore on low carbs and proteins and all that. So if you're a woman out there who is older and having a more difficult time losing weight, check it out. Look at the HIIT workouts because I think there might be something to it. We'll
see. That's me.
But I'll come back next year because my goal, I'm trying to. I saw this woman who was she has a YouTube channel which I think is called like 50 and Fabulous, and she talked about doing the stairs, and she said, you know, I started doing this without really thinking that there was going to be any change in my body. And she was doing the long walks, really long walks on the beach, and not noticing any change in her body. And she saw, oh, well, I'll just, you know, I'll mix it up. So she did it in a 2 month period, doing this 15 minutes a day. She dropped a size. She only dropped about 6 pounds, but she looks like she lost 15 because her body composition.
I'll take 6 pounds.
Yeah. But her body composition changed so much. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, hits good.
Yeah.
It is good. I just got to learn how to take my food to the next level, which is down about 12 notches, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I like food.
Well, so do I. I love food, but I just feel like I'm so sick and tired of not feeling like myself. You know, I mean, really don't have that far to go, but Bob and I are going to be going to a play on Saturday. And it was just, you know, I'm sure people look at me and they're like, what are you fucking complaining about? You're tall. You're a nice looking woman. And I know I get it. But, you know, you're used to yourself a certain way. And then things change. So when I went looking for clothes, I was so discouraged. I mean, it put me in such a foul mood. I don't like, I've never been like, oh my God, I love shopping, but I used to get clothes a lot. I used to buy new clothes all the time, and I really don't anymore, mainly because I work from home. A lot of the clothes that I bought were for work. But, you know, I went to the mall and I was going into all these stores, and part of it was just because of the fashions. I mean, when you're 6 feet tall and you have broad shoulders, it's not easy to find flattering clothes because I basically just need very simple, whether it's a blouse or a sweater. I can't have a lot of frill to it. I can't have a high neck because it makes me look like a linebacker. And that's always been the case. But I was just literally so discouraged when I was shopping, you know, and it's like, I just really don't know how to dress for this new weight that looks, you know, because you always, you don't want to dress. I want things to look nice on me and to be complimentary of my figure. And I don't really know how to do it. I learned how to do it when I was younger, and it took me a while because I didn't immediately understand it. Fashion, I'm not this big fashionista. I'm very casual with my clothes. I mean, I used to be a little bit more of a fashionista, but I was never one of these people that bought name brands. I never cared. All I wanted was just, if it looked good on me, I didn't care if it cost $3 or, you know, $200. I wanted it to look good on me. And I, you know, when I was in acting class, my coach was always emphasizing how we had to dress well and give off a really good outside image. And so I studied and I learned. And so now I'm older and I have a different shape and I don't know how to dress for my shape. And it was just, it was incredibly discouraging because it's like, I don't know what to wear. I just don't know what to wear. And so, anyway, you know, I basically decided that with this play that we're going to see, which is going to be very interesting, because it's at the Ford's Theater where, Lincoln was assassinated.
Right.
And it is the, what are we seeing, Bob?
Christmas Carol.
Christmas Carol. And it's going to be an all African-American cast. So it's going to be really.
Why don't you just wear a Mrs. Claus outfit?
I know, I should, huh? I should totally do that. Anyway, blah, 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 blah. Enough about my stupid weight.
No, it's okay. It's kind of, it's what we talk about.
Yeah.
You know, being 53. So I never cared. I never had to. Like, I had babies and then I lost the weight. You know, maybe I've always exercised a lot. And so I've always eaten what I wanted. And now it's just very different being a woman. And so I still feel young. I mean, I sing in a band and I feel incredibly, filled with energy and I'm doing the Spartan race with a bunch of 50-year-olds this Saturday, where we go and like crawl on the ground and run stadium steps and climb ropes and shit, like do ball slams with, you know, medicine balls. It's going to be so fun. And I thought, oh my God, this is the kind of thing, like, my mom's 53. Hell no.
Right.
Our 53, very different.
Yes.
But what's the same about my 53 and my mom's 53 is you're dealing with, you know, a different shape, putting on weight. I went and bought new bras, Kimberly. I was a B cup my whole life. Maybe, you know, when I got pregnant, I got the Canons, but I went and got bras, and I said, I'm a 34D. And so the woman, and it's a place where they fit you. You know, you want mm-hmm. your bras to look good at this age. There's nothing worse than an ill-fitting bra mm-hmm. on a woman of a certain age, just in my opinion, at least for me. So I go to this place where they actually fit you, and they like grab your boobs and they scoop them into the cups and stuff like that. Well, I said 34D. And she brings them in, and I put them on, and I'm like, those look good. And she goes, no. And I go, what do you mean? And she goes, look at your boobs are like popping out of the top. You're an E.
Oh, my God.
Me.
I don't even know what I am.
So, yes, my tits start on my shoulder blades. So I reach around, and I grab from the back, and I pull forward, and I fit them in. And now I never had cleavage, too, because my boobs are so far apart. They like rub up against each other.
I don't know what it is, and man. When you get older, your boobs just get huge.
They get huge. And yeah, so that's happened. But guess what? I told you I'm doing the intermittent fasting. I've stayed the same, but now I'm doing the intermittent fasting, and that doesn't involve stovepop popcorn twice a week mm-hmm. and pizza whenever I want it, or that big, beautiful sandwich. Like I just started eating like that.
Yeah.
And I'm not like that. I'm trying to change. So we'll revisit this. But one of the main thing, I'm just so sick of feeling down.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, my clothes don't fit, and I don't want to go out and buy new clothes. I don't want to spend my money on new clothes.
That's it. It's like you feel down when you don't feel like yourself. I don't expect to look or you know, like I did when I was 35, when I was in my absolute prime. I don't expect that. I'd mm-mm. love it, but I don't expect it. I know that's never going to happen, and that's fine. I just want to be at a weight where I feel comfortable with my body. When I put my clothes on, I'm not thinking, oh my God, my stomach is, you know, muffin top, you know, like with this huge muffin top and all, you know, and when my thighs are busting out of the pants, it's like, I hate that feeling. I just hate it. And so I just want to get to a point where I can feel comfortable. But I will say, going back to the food thing, what I found for me always, every time I've ever attempted to lose weight after I've gained it, is it's always been in stages. So it's like I cut down and then I cut down more later because it's not quite working the way I want. So, you know, I might start by let's just go on a calorie thing, which I don't count calories, but let's just say I'm eating 2000 calories a day and I want to lose weight now. So I cut it down to 1600 calories a day. Well, I'm not quite seeing what I want. So then I bring it down to 1400 calories a day. And I'm just, again, using calories as an example. I don't count them, but it's just, for me, it's been, it's always about, like, for now, what I'm doing, as I said, it's protein with basically vegetables. Occasionally I have a carbohydrate in the week, but for losing weight purposes, I'm keeping the carbs extremely low. If and when I do get to a point where I'm comfortable, I'll incorporate more carbs, but it'll just be, not every day and not all the time, but it'll be, you know, a little bit more. So, mm-hmm. You know, and it's just something that, you know, I've been dealing with my weight issues my whole life, and I guess it will just be until I die.
You know, just, well, you know what? Staying healthy is what's most important.
Yeah.
And feeling good about yourself in your skin is critical. And
it
that's
is.
Why I just want to take care. I just want to get back on. I do wish I could operate like Joe Dominguez, my father, who would come home from work at the age of, you know, 44, make himself a big, like, deli-style salami sandwich, stand up and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Just like, brrr, like, you know, in the cartoons when the cat puts the fish in its mouth and then pulls out just the bones?
Right, yes.
And it's just like, brrr, like two fingers, meow. And then he would eat. And then he would sit down to dinner.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And then he got like later into his 40s. And he was like, oh, that doesn't work anymore. It happens to all of us.
Yeah.
We just got to make changes. But I want to be healthy. I want to take care of myself. I want to be around for a really long time.
Well, that's what I like about the HIIT workouts too, because they seem to give me energy. Oh, and the other thing, I have never experienced this before, but they curb your appetite. And, you know, and I know this because, again, I do my first workout only after I've had a cup of coffee. And I don't really like to eat breakfast. So I like to have my coffee and then I like it to settle for a while. I used to have two cups a day. Now I have one cup a day and it's a big cup. But usually by noon, I'm starting to get that I'm feeling hungry. And so that's when I go, I do the stairs. When I'm finished with the stairs, I'm like, I'm not hungry. I will eat right after, or sometimes I'll eat before, depending, because I also read that if you eat at different times of the day every day, it confuses your metabolism. So it's kind of like a shock to your system, and it's supposed to be beneficial. So I do try to mix it up and eat at different times. You can eat the same amount that you normally eat, but if you just change up the times, your body's confused by it. So it I think it'll burn your calories faster. But I just basically do it because I'm not always very hungry. And if I'm starving, then I'll do it. But I've just found that this kind of working out has curbed my appetite. And it's like, hallelujah. I have never, ever, ever experienced that. I am all about the appetite. So, I like that.
Yay.
So just got a few minutes left, and I really do want to focus. I mean, we were talking in the free show about America and American men not being ready for a woman, which is just fucking maddening. So on that note, why don't you tell me some of the women growing up who inspired you, whether they were political leaders or authors or actors or whoever.
Right. Okay. So Carrie Fisher,
from
a very young age, was, the minute I sat down in the movie theater in Los Angeles and my dad took me to see Star Wars in 1977, I think it was, whenever the first one came out, I'm like, who is that bad mama jamma? I want some of that.
Yeah.
And she just never deviated from being that person, always speaking her mind. And when she, my husband and I had kids and we raised them in a Star Wars family. Mm-hmm. We've seen all them. They've seen them all. We've been to all the movies, the current movies. They've seen all the old ones. They have their favorites. They know the scenes by heart. And when Carrie Fisher died really unexpectedly 2 years ago, my little girl came up to me and sobbed in my arms and she said, Mom, I love Carrie Fisher. I'm going to miss her so much because she made me feel like I could do anything. And that's how she just nailed it. That was, an 8.5-year-old summing it up. But Carrie Fisher was the kind of woman who just made me feel like I could do anything. Yeah. We just love. So I would say that was the first one that came to mind for me. How about you?
I have a lot. I definitely want to go over at least three of them. But I will say, I think the first one I didn't really realize she was inspiring me was Judy Blume. And I pretty much read every book that she wrote for young adults. I read Wifey, but I don't believe if she hasn't, I'm not aware, written other adult books. I haven't read them. But my first introduction to her was in the schoolyard in, I'm sure it was fifth grade. So I was 10. And my girlfriend came to school with the book Forever. And she started reading the sex parts because Forever is about Michael and Kath. And
my dad took it from me.
Really?
Hit it. I found it. I would find it, read it, and then put it back in the hiding place.
Oh, that book was the first book. I was the prudiest little kid you'd ever want to meet. Afraid of sex, afraid of all of it. Didn't want my period. I didn't want anything to do with puberty. But of course, it was sex. It was fascinating to me. And so my girlfriend, Natalie, would bring Forever. She brought it one day. She brings it to school. So at recess and all our little breaks, she's reading the sex parts to us. And literally after school, I ran to the bookstore and I bought it. And within 24 hours, I had read the whole book. And I believe it was about 220 pages. And that was the first real book that I ever read. I mean, it wasn't like a little kid book. And then I just got hooked. And I read Tales of a Fourth Grade Nothing, starring Sally J. Friedman as herself, Dini. I mean, there was just endless, endless books. There were so many Judy Blume books that I loved. And so, interestingly enough,
Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
Oh, and of course, which I was like, what the fuck is Margaret's problem?
That changed my life.
Why did she want her period so much? I loved the book, but I'm like, Margaret's an idiot. Why does she want her period? I never wanted my period. But, I guess a lot of girls do. I was just a prude and I was just afraid of puberty. But when I wrote my book, Peyton's Choice, I read Forever again because I wanted to kind of realign myself to what it was like, You know, I mean, I remembered my own sexual experiences, but Peyton's Choice is about a teenager who gets pregnant. And even though in Forever, Catherine never got pregnant, she had sex for the first time. And so I wanted to just, you know, go back and read that. And so I definitely was inspired by Judy Blume when I wrote Peyton's Choice. But I mean, inspired by her because she's a feminist. And again, when I was a young girl, I wasn't even looking at Judy Blume in any way other than, oh, I really like her books. But now as an adult, I can look back and say, wow, she had a huge influence on my life. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's do three each. So who's another one for you?
Oh, good Lord in heaven. Do you want to know one that this, I have to say that this person stood out for me, and it was sort of fleeting, but she's always there in my mind, and it's Geraldine Ferraro.
You know, I she's not going to be on my list, but I was right there with you. Absolutely.
Just because, you know, the balls it took to put herself out there, and I'm thinking about people. I remember seeing a guy who voted for Mondale Ferraro, and he had a button that said Tits and Fritz. And you know, but just not taking a woman seriously in 1984. And that I couldn't really articulate why that made me feel icky.
Yeah.
Because it was funny because he said tits, haha.
Right.
But you know what? Geraldine Ferraro has accomplished more than your misogynist, put the woman to the side ass.
Yeah.
Any day of the week. And so I always liked her for putting herself out there because she blazed a trail that that took, you know, decades for women to catch on to later. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway, Geraldine, I'm going to throw her out there.
Well, and I'm glad you said that because, like I said, I've got three in mind. So my next one is Lindsay Wagner, Bionic Woman. Oh my God. You know, what's really funny though, is when Bob and I first met, I told him that when I was, you know, young, 9, 10, I used to do that bionic run. So I'd be outside by myself.
And I wish I could do the sound.
And I would like, and I would run in slow motion though. So it's like, you know, she ran fast, but what we saw was her running in slow motion. So here I was, this lone kid on the street running in the slow motion, making these stupid noises. And I look back and think, oh my God, if adults were watching me, they were like, that kid is weird. But I told Bob that when we first met, and that was one of the things that he really liked about me, because he realized that we were both like these nerd kids and lived inside of our heads. But, you know, I love Lindsay Wagner because I'm so glad they chose her to play the Bionic Woman. She in some ways she reminded me of my mother because she was single. My mother was divorced and she was a teacher and she was making it on her own. She lived in this awesome house in or apartment in Ojai, California. And she was strong and capable, but she was feminine and she was sweet. So she showed me that women can be strong and soft and accomplished. You know, I mean, she's working for the government. And oh my God, though, I remember when I was a little girl and I watched the episode where, because first I was watching The Bionic Man, The $6 Million Man. So there was the episode, they were, you know, they had been dating, they were together as a couple, and then she had the accident. And that eventually turned her into the Bionic Woman. I was weeping. I remember myself. I was taking a bath after the show and just weeping for Jamie. I loved Jamie Summers. And I saw her once. I was at the mall in West Hollywood, and you know, I mean, she's adopted all these children, and so she was up. We were on the escalator together, and she was right in front of me, and she had about four or five of the kids with her, and I was so tempted to just quickly tell her that I love her. But I thought, I'm going to leave her alone. She's with her kids and I'm not going to bug her. But I just wanted to hug her.
Yeah, she was pretty badass. I love her. Jamie Summers.
Yeah.
We grew up in the same time. And I just remember thinking that Charlie's Angels were such badasses too. And I was drawn toward the gorgeous Farrah and Jacqueline Smith. But I always liked Sabrina, played by Kate Jackson.
The sporty Sabrina.
She was the smart one.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Well, but I loved them all.
Yeah.
And I have a Farrah Fawcett, Charlie's Angels doll that is in this house right now. I saved it. I got all the, I bought it in secret from Toys R Us with my own money when I was going into seventh grade, which is a little late to be buying Barbie type shit. But I did it. I had one friend who we'd secretly play the Barbies together. I have my Barbie case that I've handed down to my daughter, and it is, it's been thrashed since, but yeah, I always loved those Charlie's Angels so much so that I bought the dolls.
Wow. I just actually saw there was on Facebook, there was this video of Charlie's Angels, and it was like a promo. And it was just, it was really, I think they had the beginning of the show, like the opening credits, and then they had a little promo of it. And it was like, wow, I just watched it yesterday. So that's funny you brought it up. So I guess I'll say my third one. And again, at the time, I wasn't thinking about it in terms of somebody who inspired me, but was Valerie, oh gosh, not Bertinelli, Rhoda Morgenstern. Why can't I think of her last name? Valerie Harper.
Valerie Harper, Rhoda. She,
yeah, and I loved Rhoda. I still love Rhoda. And what I love about her is that, again, here you had this woman who was living on her own, showing me as a very young girl that that's totally acceptable and normal and cool and doable. And then she meets Joe, and she just falls head over heels for him.
Loved Joe.
So did
David
I. Actually
Grohl.
Got a huge crush on him when I was rewatching the show in my, I don't know, late 20s, I guess. But as a child, you know, I was watching it. So she met Joe, and she was insecure about him. She was very insecure about her body. She was always making, you know, jokes about her weight. And I guess she had lost weight and, you know, didn't want to gain it back. But she was always talking about her weight and insecure about that. And she was insecure with Joe. And so what she showed me is that, you know, you can be loved and you can be insecure. And then she and Joe got a divorce. And after divorce, it was a heartbreaker. But I mean, I remember that was that big episode where she was, you know, getting married and running through the streets in her wedding dress. And it was this big, funny thing. And then eventually they got divorced. But the message to me after the divorce was, it's going to be okay. Because it was really hard for her, and she was sad and everything, but she went on, and she was successful. So, you know, I, again, looking back, and then many, many years later, she was on Sex and the City, and she played the mother of someone Carrie dated. And, you know, it just kind of reminded me when I watched that episode how much I absolutely adore her. She's a total feminist. She was totally for ERA. She's smart. I think she's beautiful. And as far as a 70s sitcom character, she kind of reminds me a little bit of my mother. My mother wasn't insecure like she was about her weight, but she there were so many parallels. You know, I mean, Valerie Harper's character didn't have children, but it's still, I saw my mother in a similar way. I you know, it's like they reminded me of each other. So I would say that those are... those are at least, I mean, I could sit here all day.
I could sit here all day because I would say Oprah. I would say Barbara Lee. I would say, Hillary Clinton, who still brings a tear to my eye, given all that she's been through and all that she's done for humankind.
Yeah.
There are so many just regular women in my life who blow my mind.
Yeah, my mother is one of
my mom. Yeah. Sitting up all night long while my dad gets an MBA from Stanford and she's got to go to her secretary job. Mm-hmm. You think she didn't want to go to college? She helped my dad. She was like, I deserve that honorary degree. And I could see her sitting late night at the Smith Corona. We had a light blue electric Smith Corona typewriter, and mom would have like a Salem just burning out of her mouth while she, you know, is typing and helping to edit my dad's Stanford Masters in Business Administration papers. Okay. And then she would drag her ass out and go to her job. And my brother and I were wolves raised by wolves, and we were the wolves. But that's okay.
Yeah.
Because they got it done, and they survived. It done.
Yeah. And my mom, I mean? My mom got it done taking care of me. You know, I mean, she did have help from my father, but not tons of help. Basically, she's the one who took care of business. She's the one who went to work, put food on the table, made sure that even though I grew up in a sex, drugs, and rock and roll generation, where her generation went from being, from 1950s to let's have sex with everybody and get high and listen to, you know, the Stones while we're doing it. She made sure that we had dinner every night. She made sure that, you know, I had a regular bedtime. And while that may not sound so incredible. You know, she was working and she was doing it all herself. And then eventually, you know, I mean, she took me out to California. And so we did, she didn't have anybody to depend on. She couldn't run me over to my grandmother's house if she wanted to go out. So she, you know, she made sure that I was taken care of and that, you know, the bills were paid and the food was in the refrigerator. Sometimes we had tight times. Other times it was, you know, there was more money flowing, but all the while she kept it together. So, yeah, I mean, it's like I said, I could literally sit here all day, but I can't because I have to go see my mom right now and her friend because it's mucho importante.
Is it her?
Yeah, I'm going to go see her today. And this Excellent. Woman, let me just say this before we go. This woman was so great because there was one time when my mom was struggling financially, just one particular month where things were very tight. And I guess she had talked to Pam about it, and Pam lived literally down the street, and there's a knock on the door and there's Pam with bags of groceries. It's like, that's just the kind of person she is. She just showed up and she's like, here, you guys, I know you guys are having a hard month. Here's some food. It was just, she's such a sweet, loving woman. So I'm excited to see her. Cause again, I haven't seen her since high school.
Well, enjoy.
I will. So, all righty. Well then, that wraps up the show for today. And
Oh my God, I wish I could sing this tune.
Well, we're those honky tonk women. And it's so fitting. Anyway, alrighty, well then, I believe the next show is going to be on the 12th. We might have one on the 5th, but we're not sure, so we'll stick around and find out. Anyway, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you later.
Thank you, babe.